Blog Talk Radio.
Investigatory study for the Most High. Now, founding fathers and mothers, and so on and so forth. We certainly do need devotion because of the fact what is going on around us is so surreal. I see that There's been a surgical attack by COVID-19. Stephen Miller, one of the architects of the his thought to mistreat, abuse, and continue to dominate us. He wanted to be the new Heinrich Himmler. He wanted to be the architect of the further abuse, mistreatment, and domination of us. And as I said, things are not getting better there in the White House, so it seems. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse. They said the West Wing has been sort of empty. The halls of the West Wing has been quite empty. Seems like the rats are leaving the ship while the captain is at the helm, saying, "Pull dead ahead, damn the torpedoes." I just want to simply say something to Trump. Trump, the Most High, your arms are not the first arm the Most High that broke, okay? Come on, bro. He needs to study history. Your arms are not the first arm the Most High that broke. Keep it up. Keep it up, Stephen Millers of the world. Keep on doing what you're doing. And think it's going to work out for you. When you go up against the Most High people, you better be very clear on your objectives and what you're doing. Because the Most High can leave you totally confused about everything. Truth be told. Let us get started. Let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cardrell. And I'm pretty sure he has some commentaries on the ongoings of current events today. Cardrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yasu Fari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
Yeah. So the mouthful there, man. The president, he's bugging out. He left the hospital. He still got the virus.
Everybody
must be immune. Immune, and you still got it. They still checking you. What are you talking about? Ceremony, you show you gonna go up on a balcony and take the mask off like you defiant of the pandemic.
Like he bit Benito Mussolini.
Mussolini wasn't as sick as him. He's taking all kind of concoctions that he don't know the side effect of.
Exactly.
But, you heard about the Pentagon?
Yeah, I heard most of the joint chiefs of staff has had to quarantine themselves. Only one is left out of the joint chiefs of staff.
And they working from home?
They don't want to go around Trump. They ain't crazy. They said the West Wing, I mean, you can hear your footstep echoing in the West Wing. Don't nobody want to hang out there no more. You know, and Trump, Donald Trump, as I said, Kadri and fellow students, he said, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead," and surely the torpedoes are coming. Truth be told.
Yeah, man, is worse than, what's his name, Jim Jones?
Man, he 10 times worse than Jim Jones. This man, Jim Jones did 900. This guy is 210,000 in county.
Well, you call that a mega massacre? A mega massacre?
A mass massacre. Mm-hmm. I certainly do, Cartier.
Because we read it yesterday, Isaiah 44.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, your hand's too short to box with Yah. He's going to break your arms. And he's trying to stand up there like he's strong. He couldn't even hardly breathe.
I saw him trying to suck that air in. Mm-hmm.
They saw red and everything.
Yeah, and then people were saying about those steroids, they have an effect on your mind. But if your mind is bad in the first place, that's a double whammy.
It only accentuates it. Yeah. It makes you more aggressive.
Exactly. If your mind is already right. Steroids. Yeah. Your mind is already right. It's making matters worse. And people can see this play out in full play in living colors. And it is quite surreal, Contreras. Quite surreal.
He's really embarrassing himself, I'm sure. You know, foreign nations are looking at him. And, they probably concur with Joe Biden. He's a clown.
You remember that time, country? I don't know what his place was. All the leaders were there. And he pulled some guy back and pulled him out the way and jumped up in front of man and pulled in his jacket. I said, man, what's wrong with that cat, man? You remember?
He's mafia, man. He's mafia. He's a Don.
Like he Don Curry Long. Leader. Don Curry Long had more class than he did.
Man, guess what happened to Don Corleone, the Teflon Don?
He died in prison. Don Corleone, according to the movie, had a heart attack playing with his little grandson. And this guy about to give himself a heart attack. You know, this guy is some mess. Going on 64, and the 14th, me, 64, on the 14th of this month. I've never seen anything quite like him. Okay, never seen anything quite like this guy.
The one and only.
They broke the mold when they made this character.
In reality, I don't think he really thought he was gonna win as president.
Right. Exactly.
But the fact that he won, now he's going like all out because he's never been a public servant.
No.
He's always been a con artist. You know,
mm-hmm. And looking out for his own behind. So you can't, and Cartrell, the sad thing about it, he told Mnuchin, hey, don't talk to Nancy. Hell, just let him starve. Let him not pay their bills or whatnot. I don't care nothing about them. They don't care nothing about me. Wait till after the election. Man, what kind of,
wait till I win.
That's a threat, y'all. I better win, otherwise y'all going to suffer till the next one get in on January 20th. Man, what kind of guy is this? Blackmail the people. You better vote for me, otherwise you're not going to eat. You're not going to pay your bills. And I saw something on about this mother. It's a Latino mother. She had three daughters. And she hadn't paid her bills in months. And the way she was getting her food, because she had no money and no means, is through the Salvation Army and whatnot. I couldn't do anything but turn my head and just think, man, this is crazy. This is crazy. Okay,
well,
student.
Uh-huh. I just want to interject one more thing. I have to make mention of another brother, one of the brothers of ours, Jonathan Price, shot down in Texas.
Trying to break up
a fight in a restaurant.
Yeah,
and the
sure
police
is.
Officer walks in there and tases him and shoots him three times.
And they tired of this. They are tired of this. They hurry up and arrest him on a murder charge.
Yeah.
He been arrested on murder. Murder one.
Like that really means something.
Right.
You know, they got their union backing them. You can charge them whatever you want to, but your man going to get off.
Yeah. In this country, anything is to be expected, Cartrell. Okay, students, turn to chapter
30. We pray for y'all's justice. I'm sorry. We pray for y'all's justice in all these cases.
True be told.
You know, Jacob sees blood. For what?
Exactly.
No reason at all.
We have to. Okay, let's get our studies on. Turn to chapter 30 of Bereshit, Genesis, if you don't know, according to the Greek. But the Hebrew is Bereshit. Chapter 30. Now, I'm going to show you something about us. See, the Most High never try to sugarcoat nothing. You know, like they try to make everything just like this guy in the White House. Everything's perfect. I'm perfect. I'm the greatest. I mean, the Most High just put it all out there. Even when we have marital problems. And even when we're angry because of our marital problems. So I want you to understand something, brothers and sisters. Don't think you're perfect. Don't think you're going to have perfect relationships, okay? But what keeps them working, the oil that keeps it smooth, is the Most High. But you're going to have problems. And let us see this. Now, Rachel saw that she had borne Jacob no children. She became envious of her sister. And Rachel said to Yaakov, give me children, I'm going to die. Yaakov was incensed at Rachel. And he said, can I take the place of Yah? Can I make you have some babies? I ain't Yah, who has denied you the fruit of your womb. And she said, here, take my handmaiden, Bala.
Bilha,
consort with her that she may bear on my knees. And through her, I too may have children. So she gave him her handmaiden, Baha, as a concubine. And Yaakov cohabitated with her. Baha conceived and bore Yaakov a son. And Rachel said, Yah has vindicated me. Indeed, he has heeded my plea and given me a son. Therefore, she named him Dan, the tribe of Dan. Y'all didn't know we it was really four. You know, I saw the contrail yesterday, and the day before yesterday, I made mention of the fact that our nation didn't come from just one mother, Rachel. But in fact, it didn't come just from Rachel and Leah. It came from the handmaidens too, the tribe. Okay?
What we see here, mm-hmm. Rachel's doing the same thing that Sarah did, right?
Taking it upon her own self. Taking it upon herself. Not seeking y'all advice first. Taking it upon herself.
And the fact that she took it upon herself, mm-hmm. she gonna throw in there, what, God has judged my case. He has
right.
heard my voice and given me a son. He didn't give her a son. He
no,
gave your hand a son.
Right.
So
right.
she didn't get it.
She didn't get it. Yeah. Because I want to give it to you now. I'm going to give your handmaid one. I'm not going to give you one. So Yah has vindicated me. Indeed, he has heeded my plea and given me a son. Therefore, she named him Dan. Rachel's maid.
Did she really plead to Yah for Yah to give her a son?
Right.
Or did she use her own devices to come
leaned
up with
her own understanding? She mm-hmm. laid to her own understanding. And then Baha conceived again and bore Yaakov a second son. And Rachel said, a faithful contest I waged with my sister. See, she was on some ego trip, ego run amok. A faithful contest I waged with my sister. Yes, and I have prevailed. So she named him Naphtali.
Naphtali.
Nephilim.
But you see that they're putting certain vibrations on their children.
Exactly.
She feels vindicated against her sister.
Right.
She's been wrestling with her sister.
Uh-huh.
But that's putting vibrations on their sons, right? On their children.
Exactly. Exactly. And here come Leah. When Leah saw she had stopped bearing, she took her mate, that fly. And gave her to Yaakov as a concubine. And when Leah made Zephla, bore Yaakov a son, Leah said, what luck? Come home. What luck? So she named him Gad. I mean, it was off on ego trip. And when Leah made Zephla, bore Yaakov a second son, Leah declared, what fortune? Meaning, women would deem me fortunate. They were looking out for their own egos. So she named him Asher. Once again, at the time of the wheat harvest, Reuben came upon some mandrakes. You know, these are aphrodisiacs. In the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes, aphrodisiacs. But she said to her, was it not enough for you to take away my husband, that you would take away my son's aphrodisiac mandrakes? Rachel replied, I promise he shall lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. Okay, well, you can have him for tonight. Just give me the mandrakes. When Yaakov came, I mean, she traded him. She was determined to get those aphrodisiacs. So, see, you go and sleep with him tonight. you give me your son mandrakes. When Yaakov came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, this is my night. You folks sleep with me. If I have hired you, I paid for you. With my son's mandrakes. And he had to honor the obligation. And he lay with her that night. Yah heeded Leah. And she conceived again and bore him a fifth son. See, Rachel. See, Rachel. And Leah said, Yah has given me my reward for having given my maid to my husband. So she named him Askar. When Leah conceived again and bore Yaakov a sixth son, Leah said, Yah has given me a choice gift. This time my husband will exalt me, will put me first, for I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zephlon. Last, she bore him a daughter, named her Dinah, seven children. Now, Yah, Rachel. Yah heeded her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, Yah has taken away my disgrace. And she named him Joseph, which is to say, may the Elohim add another son to me. She wasn't satisfied with that. He had already born a son. And after Rachel had born Joseph, Yaakov said to Laban, give me leave to go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for well you know what services I have rendered you. You know what I've done for you. But Laban said to him, being slick, if you will indulge me, I've learned by divination that the Elohim has blessed me on your account. And he continued, name the wages due for me and I will pay you. But he said, you know well how I have served you and how your livestock have fared because of me. For the little you had before I came has grown to be much since the Elohim has blessed you wherever I turn. And now, when shall I make provision for my own household? And he said, Laban said, what shall I pay you? And Yaakov said, pay me nothing. When you will do this thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flocks. Here's a proposition. Let us pass through your whole flocks today, removing from there every speckled and spotted animal, and every dark colored sheep, and every spotted and speckled goat shall be my wages that you got in your flock. In the future, when you go over my wages, let my honesty towards you testify for me if there are among my goats any that are not speckled and spotted, or sheep that are not dark colored. They go there by theft. I stole them. Laban said, very well, let it be as you said. So, Yaakov had a plan. But the same day he removed the streaked and spotted goats and all the speckled and spotted she-goats and everyone that had white on it and the dark-colored sheep and left them in charge of his sons. And he put a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Yaakov, which Yaakov was passing the rest of Laban's flock. Now his sons was taking care of his flock 3 days' journey away, and he was taking care of Laban's flock. Yaakov got fresh shoots and poplar, and almond and plane, and peeled white stripes in them, laying them bare, the whites of the shoots, the rods that had peel he set up in front of the goats. And in the trough, the water receptacle that the goats came and drank from. Their mating occurred when they came to drink. So he made sure they had a proper diet that was going to work in his benefit, because after they drunk, they went and mated. And since the goats mated by the rods, the goats brought forth streaked and speckled and spotted young. But Yaakov dealt separately with the sheep. He made face the dark animals and his flock. He said this is going to have an effect upon them. And so he produced special flocks for himself, which he did not pay with Laban's flocks. Moreover, when the sturdy animals were mating, Yaakov placed the rods in the trough in full view of the animals, so they mated by the rods. But with the feeble animals, he would not place them there. Thus the feeble ones went to Laban, and the sturdy to Yaakov. So the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own a large flock, maid servants and men servants and camels and asses. I mean, Yaakov was slick. That brother was slick. That boy had game. Katria, what do you say about our father? Father?
He knew his sheep. He knew how to handle, how to cultivate flock.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing, because he made Laban prosperous by what he was doing, because he said he started with a little, and now you got a great amount. So
exactly.
Now he knows how to do for himself by taking out what he needed to make himself great with the same flock he used to make Laban great. So
right.
He knew his uncle probably would have gave him the worst of his flock,
exactly.
You know, after he done blessed him. So he
right.
took for himself what he knew would be best for him.
Right. And he knew how to
mate. So it really didn't matter, because the Most High
right.
blessed him anyway.
Right. And he knew how to mate animals. He knew how to mate animals where they would turn out speckled. I mean, he knew his husbandry as far as these animals are concerned. He knew how to breed and to mate these animals, that they would even, he didn't turn the sheep and look at the other sheep like that when you're having sex. you're going to be thinking about it like that. You know what I mean? This guy was very astute brother. I mean, he knew how to mate these animals. He knew how to make them spotted and speckled, and he knew how to make the sheep. Well, he didn't even do them like he did the goats. He just faced them toward the goats that was the color of the ones he wanted, and he mated them like that. Very, very smart brother. You know what I mean?
Well, he probably was studying them the whole time he
yeah.
was there. How many years was
yeah.
he there? Watching the man's flock?
Long time. Yeah, and
he
wasn't just... Right.
Watching what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
You're seeing what they do. So he probably knew, when they look at that rod, they seem to come out speckled and spotted and pretty healthy.
Right. And then if they eat this combination of stuff right here,
uh-huh.
If they eat this combination, they come out speckled and spotted. So he knew, as you said, Katria, he studied these animals. He knew their mating habits. He knew what they ate that produced a certain... if they produce a certain color tone and whatnot. So he knew his sheep. He knew his goats. Okay.
And most times, goats and sheep, they come out either white or black. Rarely
right.
do they come out speckled and streaked and spotted.
Right.
So he was wise in that. Let me take, the rare ones that speckled and spotted,
right.
soothing Laban's ego.
Right.
If you're going to give me the speck and spotted, that he ain't going to take too many. Lo and behold.
So he ain't going to have much of nothing. Yeah, I'm going to have him for a long time putting in work. Uh-huh.
But going back to Leah, it seems
right.
that she was more connected to the Most High than her sister Rachel. Because she's
dope.
Trying to come up with all kind of machinations to have a baby. She won't buy her sister's mandrakes. She should have been praying like her sister.
Exactly.
To the Most High to give us some children. And
exactly.
you notice that they left with her only having one child.
Exactly.
So,
And we're going to find out with her last child, I think she died in childbirth.
Are you jumping ahead now?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Let me not jump ahead. Okay, let me not jump ahead. All right, then. We're not going to jump ahead then. But we are going to turn to the seventh chapter of Job. And Job is saying in his suffering, he has no confidence. Even though he got these three so-called brothers coming to comfort him, they leave worse off than he. And he goes on to explain as such. Some of the all friends ain't good friends. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to get there, and I'm going to take a shot of this water, and I'm going to begin reading, okay? May the Most High bless you, fellow students. And let us study the word of the Most High. Do this investigatory study so you can make the right application. Okay? It's all about application. He said, Job is saying there that there's not a time of hard service for man on earth. There's not a time of hard service for man on earth. There's not a time of hard service for man on earth.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Is there not a time of hard service for man on earth?
Yeah. Right. All this time. I mean, he said all of our times are hard. It's just the way it is. And that question was posed for you to understand. Is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? He's posing that question. Exactly. We've always had hard times. And he says, are not his days also like the days of a hired man? Your life is like a hired servant. Like a servant who earnestly desires the shade, but yet don't have it. Or like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages. You're always looking for your wages. So I have been allotted months of fertility. Weariness nights have been appointed me because of my affliction. And when I lie down, I say, shall I arise from this affliction? And the night be ended. And the night be ended. For I have had my fill of tossing to dawn. I've tossed and turned all night long to dawn. My flesh is cracked with worms and dust, literally, because of these boils. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh because of these boils. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You know the thing be going up and down. And a spit without hope. I don't have any hope, my days. Oh, remember that my life is in your life. Oh, remember that my life in your life is just a breath. My eyes will never again see good because of my circumstances. The eyes of him who sees me will see me no more. They won't see me as I used to be. And then in the final analysis, they won't see me no more one day. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. As the clouds disappear and vanishes away. Say, so he who goes down to the grave does not, and a lot of folk telling y'all lies. They tell y'all about folk coming back from the grave. Job done told you, folk don't come back from the grave. And he said, he who goes down to the grave does not come up. And Saul, King Saul, had to get a witch to make the prophet come back. And he told him, hold on, for the day over with, partner, you're going to be where I'm at, you and your children. So a lot of folks said, they said, I can bring back, you know, I think, what's that, Houdini. He's going to these witches, try to bring his mothers back. And but he didn't have the power like those witches back in the day had. And but Job is saying, when you go in the grave and you ain't coming back, people say, I seen the ghost of my daddy. You seen it. You telling a lie. I seen the ghost of my mama. No, you telling a lie. Job said it. Job says, I'm going to reread that. As the clouds disappear and vanish away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. He should never return to his house, not unless the Most High restore you. nor shall he shall his place know him anymore. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I can't stop talking. I need to tell you like it is. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, the truth. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul, what I'm going through. Am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set God over me? When I said my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, scare me with dreams, my so-called friends, and terrify me with visions. So my soul chooses strangling. I'd rather be strangled and death rather than my body. I loathe my life. I will not live forever. Let me alone. Let me alone. For my days are but a breath. Leave me be. Because what is a man that you should exalt over him? That you should set your heart on him? That you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? How long will you not look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my slobber? Okay, you swallowed slobber. What have I done to you, O watcher of men? He ain't talking to his. He ain't talking to them three folks. He ain't talking to the three so-called friends here. When he said, "A watcher of men," I believe he's asking, "Yeah, what have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target, so that I am a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression?" Yeah, he's talking to Yah. "And take away my iniquity. For now I will lie down in the dust, and you seek me diligently. But finally, I will be no more sooner or later." You know, he's asking Yah, "Why have you done this to me? Why have you targeted me?" But y'all gonna get him straight in the end. You gonna get him told in the end. Contrary, what's your commentary, my brother?
Just the agony of Job. We all go through it.
Yeah,
we don't know why.
Yeah, he's going through the agony of defeat. Right.
Mm-hmm. No reason for your friends or people to judge your situation. It's for them to help you when you're in that situation.
Right.
You don't know why. The Most High put someone in that situation. And he tells us to help the poor and the needy and the fatherless and the widow.
Right.
So Job don't know why he's going through it, but he's going to find out in the end, like you said.
Yeah.
But it showed you where his friends were, or were they really his friends. Or,
right.
And you can see human nature. When you got money, you got lots of friends. There's a song that goes by that, right?
Exactly.
Lots of money, lots of friends. All the money gone. Now you can't find your friends.
Now his friend chastised him. And it first started off, question those friends. Why y'all hit me like this? Then he sort of pivots to Yah. Yah, why you doing me? You the watching me. Why have you set me a target like this? Why you put me in this situation? So he's really talking. He first off started talking to those so-called friends. Then he pivots to Yah at the end. You know,
that's what he should have started doing in the first place. Why have you afflicted me like this?
Exactly.
But he took the affliction on like a man, and he was humble with it, and he was going through his period of mourning. But now here come his friends, only to exacerbate, not help, but to exacerbate the situation. And the fact that he's not getting no comfort or help from his friends, it's time for him to turn to Yah. Like, what did I really do?
What did I do?
Going through this, and have my friends turn on me.
Right, why are you talking to me with these so-called friends? They put them on me.
Yeah, like a wolf pack.
And boy, they came down on him. And you ain't seen nothing yet, fellow students. You just heard Elisaphat. You ain't heard the other two. But you about to hear them too. They finna roast Job. It's gonna get you know how them roast show we used to watch on TV, Cottrell, the Dean Martin roast. This gonna get like a Dean Martin roast for Joe. <I'll tell you. laughs> It's gonna get worse.
But I can sympathize with him because we're going through a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most times, take everything from us.
Exactly.
People pointing their finger, criticizing, mocking. We're going basically just through the same thing as Joe is going through, but as a nation, as a people.
Yep, as a nation.
But can we come through it like Joe came through it?
Yeah, but here's the thing, the beauty of it. And you follow Joe and follow this story to its end, you will have your answer. Follow the stories. Follow the storyline. Follow everything. Study everything. And follow Yah's response to all this. And then want to find a conclusion. Watch how it plays out before you. And Yah is setting that before you, as Cartier alluded to, the fact we're dealing with this same sort of trauma as a nation. And we're being accused and whatnot, but how will we respond? How can we respond to recover? And that is the final answer, the final analysis. And you got to watch our studies, and you got to learn something. You got to look all around. Look at the whole picture. Don't leave no stone unturned, no leaf unturned, and glean as much as you can from these stories. These are not feel-good stories. These are get right stories, get right with the Most High stories. And you can learn a lot from these stories. What say you, Cartrell?
So you're absolutely right. It's all about human nature, because human nature hasn't changed from the time of Adam till now, right? And the Most High gives us guideposts and guidelines on how to do it right, examples to follow, examples not to follow.
Exactly.
And Job is one that we can definitely relate to.
True.
Because He carried himself humbly. He's dealing with his pain.
Right.
He ain't really complaining. He didn't really start, complaining until his friends came, right?
Yeah. Today they what are they saying? They blow, they put fuel on the fire.
They definitely fanning the flames of the fire.
Yeah.
The brother's burning up, but he's noble, you really got to listen to the wisdom that he drops on his brothers, because they should be listening to him.
Instead of him, right. You're certainly right, Cadrio. And listeners, our fellow students, you must study this in its completeness, its entirety, and you need to analyze and ascertain everything as Cadrio alluded to. You need to focus on Job's response, and his attitude, his humility, his lack of arrogance, even though the Most High chastises him, because he said, I can't get before the story, okay? Cadrell's going to tell me, Yom Suf, you get before the story. So I'm just glean everything you can from the story. Don't just read on it, read over it, mull over it. And get to the core of the matter on each chapter, and mull over the storyline, and try to glean as much as you can from Job's response, the response of his so-called friends, and finally the response of Yah to Job. Okay? All right, Cadrell, what say you, your comments on this chapter we read, and then we're going to move right along.
Job said, "Leave me alone. Let me die in peace." You're gonna bring the you're bringing that kind of drama. Just leave me alone and let me die in peace. And he really enjoyed his life. He ain't complaining. You know, he's ready to die. You know, that's part of the cycle of life. But you really find out who people are when you're up and when you're down, and that's really the gist of his story. And the fact that he maintains his connection with the Most High is really the most important thing, that he never gives up faith or trust or hope in the Most High God.
Yeah, Cartrell, I think he maintains his innocence while they're trying to make him feel less dead. You done something wrong. You had to do something wrong. It's all about you. You must have done something wrong, Job. Like, confess and get it right. And Job is maintaining his innocence. I mean, if the Most High want to take me, so be it. I mean, but y'all need to leave me alone, okay? Y'all ain't going to make me confess with nothing I ain't did, okay? I'm not confessing nothing I ain't did. Now, I've analyzed myself. I don't need y'all coming here and trying to make me feel worse than I am, okay? Now, if the Most High want to tell you I'm in anguish, I'm all shook up, but you know what? I'm good. If the Most High, I wish the day was never born, and I wish the day I never was born, okay? I'm all right. I'm good.
But how many brothers are singing that same song in prison right now that are actually innocent? And people are saying, you must have did something. You in jail. You've been serving time this long. You must have did something. No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Sometimes people put you in a situation, you got to do something. Sometimes the old saying is, I'd rather be judged by 12 than knock out by one. Sometimes people make you do some things that you ain't got no business doing. But then again, you know, I always say, Cartrell, what part they played in it? Whoever you say I did something to, what part they played in it? If they were talented, is I just walked up on you and just shot you down dead, that would be another thing. But see, what part they played in what I had to do, what I had to do. But, you know, in this system, this Western Hemisphere, they don't make no never mind to them. They can kill a whole nation, but you better not kill nobody. They'll lock you up for life. And see, they will murder whole nations, but you cannot justly defend yourself against anybody. They'll call it murder. Oh, he murdered them. But you can murder a whole nation, and you have done it. It's just not the way it is sometimes, Cartrell.
Well, we know Ronnie Long, he was vindicated, and they just released him a couple of years ago. He spent 30 years in there, and he was innocent. But he used his time wisely, just like Joe, maintained his innocence, helped people while he was there, and pretty much the industrial complex that we live in, white supremacist industrial complex we live in, we have to do the best we can, while we can, when we can, how we can, while we on lockdown until we get our everything back.
Right, and help people while you're in that situation. You can complain all day long. But brothers and sisters, if you find yourself in that situation, do the best you can what you get. No, I'm not saying that's an ideal situation. Believe you me, I've been in those 4-star with bars. But what I'm saying, the time that you utilize that time to not only help yourself, improve yourself before the Most High. Improve yourself before the Most High by helping others less fortunate than you are. And the Most High, he sees things. He has watches all over the earth, watching everything. And the Most High said, hey, Most High, what, you know, so-and-so down there, he helping folks, she helping folks. Oh, is that right? All right. Keep an eye on him. And so instead of just complaining, my suggestion, just like Ronnie Long, he spent his time, utilized his time, and he was innocent. Just like some of you brothers and sisters out there who listen to the Real Talk for Real People Investigatory Show. Spend your time trying to help people. And the Most High, you may find favor in the Most High, because you ain't going to find no favor in this system. But perhaps by the Most High seeing you're vindicating yourself and by helping others, Most High would take mercy upon you. But how so now, it will improve your lot a whole lot better. Cartrell, what say you, brother?
So you're right. I echo those sentiments exactly. We have to learn the path to Yah and follow it.
Exactly.
On that.
True. Yeah, like I said, I've been to those 4 stars with bars. I make no bones about it. I lived a checkered past. But the Most High took mercy on me, and I try to vindicate myself by doing right by people now. That's what I do. And people say, Yam Su, why do you... You give money to this. You give money to that. You help this. You help. I'm trying to prove to the Most High by doing what he said. Help the needy, help the poor, help those in need, and get some vindication. That's not going to make me righteous, but that will put me in a position for the Most High. That he will help make me right. Okay? It's just doing the right thing. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you just got to do the right thing and trust in the Most High. And sometimes that's all you got. That's all you got. And you got to work with what you got. Cartrell?
That's all we need.
That's all we need.
Our transgressions and our sins. So
exactly.
By doing what's right in his eye.
Doing what's right. Right, not in your own. And he tells you, help the poor, help the needy, help the widow, do right by folk. Okay?
Humble yourself.
Humble yourself. Show folks some love. Yeah, you can't be like them. You can't do what they do. You don't want to be like them, and you don't want to do what they do. Become not like your oppressors and choose none of their ways.
Oh, you like Eliphaz, supposed to be a friend, helping your brother. You pointing a finger at him and putting your foot in his neck.
And you know that some people just need some help. Some people just need some love. But sometimes you got to bag off some people sometimes. And sometimes you got to show some folks some tough love. You can say, hey, I got some love for you, baby. But this love ain't for free now. I can't do nothing. You got to do something for yourself. I can do something for you, but you got to do something for yourself. You know, and it's all about keeping it real, brothers and sisters. You got to keep it real. And that's what we try to do on the Real Talk for Real People Investigatory Show. Yeah, we talk about y'all. We talk about our ancient fathers and brothers and sisters, our founding fathers, our founding mothers. Yeah, we talk about them. But we talk about their lives and what they did and what they didn't do. What got them in trouble with y'all and what got them in favor with y'all. And what got them in trouble with y'all, leaning to their own understanding. Doing whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, and think the Most High is supposed to go along with it. That's what got them in trouble with y'all. So how do we find favor with y'all? We do what y'all tell us to do, when he tell us to do it, and how he tell us to do it, without any question. That's how you find favor with y'all. And you be humble. And not lord over people, not think yourself better than somebody, but just keep it real. Be humble. Keep it real. Well, Cartrell, my brother, I know that you have another wonderful song, so, and we're all ears, and we want to hear it. We want you to break it down for us like we 4 years old.
Pretty much that self-explanatory, inspirational, hope-filled, and we should take them to heart because they apply to us. We're going to read the 67th Psalm.
Okay.
There's no particular author that's ascribed to this particular psalm. They don't say whether it's King David, whether it's Asaph, whether it's Moshe. It's this psalm, 67, to the chief musician. On the string instrument, a psalm and a song. Praise Yah. Psalm 67.
Praise Yah.
Elohim, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. That's a very important sentence for us as a people, as a nation. Be merciful to who? To us. We've been downtrodden. We've been enslaved and captive and stripped of everything. Cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth. That was his intention the first time. Make us his servant, to be his people, to show the other nations of the earth how Yah wants the nations to live.
Exactly.
Let the people praise you, O Elohim. And won't that be a great day when people put down their idols and their religions and their isms and schisms and praise the true God, the creator of heaven and earth.
Beautiful.
Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. So there's going to be other nations that are going to receive salvation, and Yah's going to be the judge. He's going to be the king, and the people are going to praise him. Let the peoples praise you, O Elohim. Let all the peoples praise you. How many people? Everybody that he created in the earth. Then the earth shall yield her increase. So we haven't seen the earth yield its increase yet because people worship idols and do their own thing. And the earth is full of violence and corruption and bloodshed. So why should it yield its strength? Elohim, our own Elohim shall bless us. And we have to have faith and confidence in that, as our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Elohim shall bless us, just like he blessed Jacob, just like he blessed Isaac, just like he blessed Abraham. He's going to bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise Yah. Because they can see his connection with us. It ain't just us. Y'all hate niggas. Y'all hate the black Hebrew Israelites. We radicals. No, you're going to see the Most High on us. And you're going to, through him being connected with us, you're going to fear him.
Exactly. Well, Cadrell, well, listeners, that's another nice study session we had. And thank you, Cadrell. But listeners, fellow students, we need to take to heart what we're studying. Cadrell and I and you, as we study together, that they may sound lovely and a lot of you are happy and whatnot and so on and so forth. And so you should be. But if it's just theory and you're not putting this theory into action, it does you no world of good. If it's a feel-good moment and you're not putting it into action, it does you no good. You need to start putting this work into play by virtue of your actions. In accordance to the Most High, in your relationship with one another, in your relationship with other nations. And stop doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, and think that it would suffice. Well, yeah, it does not, it never has, and it never will. Cartrell, what say you, my brother?
That Yah will bless us. These are the promises that he's making. So how do we get that blessing? He's given us the formula. He's given us the diagnosis, what's wrong with us. He's given us the antidote. But if you take the antidote, Most High is going to bless us like he said he would. So
right.
Our ancient fathers had faith in him and trust in him. We have to have that same confidence, that faith and that trust like our ancient fathers so we can see the blessing. Because these are a lot of promises that haven't been fulfilled yet.
Exactly. Well, Cartrell. Okay, go ahead, Cartrell. Go ahead,
yeah,
brother.
The ball is in our court. It says God helps those who help themselves, and he's given us
exactly
the way. And once you've heard it, you're responsible for it, whether you agree with it or not. You know, the onus is on you. The choice.
You can't, right, you can't get away from it. It's
nope.
On you now. We've done our job on the Real Talk for Real People Investigatory Show. Now it's up to you. What will you do? I know you're tired of religions. We're not a religion, okay? I know you're tired of the lies that religions tell you, but we're not a religion, okay? We are a nation, and we are a nation that's supposed to be servants of the Most High. All of us, each of us, to lead other nations unto the Most High. We got to stop dropping the ball, brothers and sisters. Each of us have to pick up the ball and run with it the best we can. To the Most High, gathers us together and brings us back home. Let's do the best we can with what we have. Let's try to love one another. Let's try to be humble with one another. Let's try to be humble to the Most High. And let's stop leaning to our own understanding. Cartrell, my brother and friend, I want to thank you. And I want to hear your closing remarks.
I pretty much said what I had to say. There's so much in there to meditate on, to reflect on. It's good to go back over what we read. And it'd be nice if people, you know, chimed in and participated, asked questions to open up the dialogue so that
mm-hmm.
we can get a better understanding. But we're doing the best we can with what we got and trying to bring Yah's word. And I'm sure all the religions that you're speaking about, the people that have been in them have never really heard the scriptures broken down the way we're doing it, chapter by chapter, book by book. And I'm sure it should be eye-opening to a lot of people that their preachers aren't teaching you what we're reading here.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, listeners, well, fellow students, may the Most High bless you. May your steps be directed and ordered. I don't know where you're going, but you're going to get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People Investigatory Study Show with Cartrell from New York City and Yumsu from Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know where you're going, as I said, but you're going to get ready to get out of here. I want to leave something with you in closing. Do like the Most High tell you. Stop doing what men and women tell you. Do what the Most High tell you. It's just that simple. We try to make everything hard when it isn't. Stop becoming like your oppressor. Choose none of their ways. Listen to each other, whom heed the counsel of the Most High. Love one another. Support one another. Encourage one another. Motivate one another. Don't be friends, fair weather friends, like Job had. Lift each other up. Don't try to put each other down. I don't care. Oh, they Masonic. They non-Masonic. They crazy. They us. And we us. And we all we got. Let's start trying to work with each other instead of working on each other everlasting nerve. May the Most High bless you. Direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Don't trust Yamsu. Don't trust Cartrell. But trust your creator. Trust your Elohim. Trust Yah. Study Yah. Apply Yah to your life. And you will see the end result is in your favor. We love you. Thank you, Cartrell. I love you, brother. Thank you, fellow students. We love you, too. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. We love you, too. May the Most High bless you. And we're out. Good night. Shalom. A harvest for the children.